The Dialogue of Catherine of Siena, Part 10. How the Damned Cannot Desire Any Good. And the hatred of the damned is so great that they cannot will or desire any good, but they continually blaspheme me. And do you know why they cannot desire good? Because the life of man ended, free will is bound. Wherefore they cannot merit, having lost, as they have, the time to do so. If they finish their life, dying in hatred with the guilt of mortal sin, their souls, by divine justice, remain forever bound with the bonds of hatred, and forever obstinate in that evil which, therefore, being gnawed by themselves in it, their pains always increase, especially the pains of those who have been the cause of damnation to others. As that rich man who was damned demonstrated to you when he begged the favor that Lazarus might go to his brothers, who were in the world, to tell them of his pains. This, certainly, he did not do out of love or compassion for his brothers, for he was deprived of love, and could not desire good, either for my honor or their salvation, because, as I have already told you, the damned souls cannot do any good to their neighbor, and they blaspheme me, because their life ended in hatred of me and of virtue. But why, then, did he do it? He did it because he was the eldest, and had nourished them up in the same miseries in which he had lived, so that he was the cause of their damnation. And he saw pain increased to himself on account of their damnation, when they should arrive in torment together with him, to be gnawed forever by hatred, because in hatred they finished their lives. Of the Glory of the Blessed. Similarly, the just soul, for whom life finishes in the affection of charity and the bonds of love, cannot increase in virtue, time having come to naught. But she can always love with that affection with which she comes to me, and that measure that is measured to her. She always desires me, and loves me, and her desire is not in vain. Being hungry, she is satisfied, and being satisfied, she has hunger. But the tediousness of satiety and the pain of hunger are far from her. In love, the blessed rejoice in my eternal vision, participating in that good that I have in myself, everyone according to his measure, that is, that with that measure of love with which they have come to me, is it measured to them. Because they have lived in love of me and of the neighbor, united together with the general love and the particular, which moreover both proceed from the same love, and they rejoice and exult, participating in each other's good with the affection of love, besides the universal good that they enjoy altogether. And they rejoice and exult with the angels with whom they are placed, according to their diverse and various virtues in the world, being all bound in the bonds of love. And they have a special participation with those whom they closely loved with particular affection in the world, with which affection they grew in grace, increasing virtue. And the one was the occasion to the other of manifesting the glory and praise of my name in themselves and in their neighbor. And in the life everlasting they have not lost their love, but have it still, participating closely with more abundance the one with the other, their love being added to the universal good. And I would not that you should think that they have this particular good, of which I have told you, for themselves alone, for it is not so, but it is shared by all the proved citizens, my beloved sons, and all the angels. For when the soul arrives at eternal life, all participate in the good of that soul, and the soul in their good. Not that her vessel or theirs can increase, nor that there be need to fill it, because it is full, but they have an exaltation, a mirthfulness, a jubilee, a joyousness in themselves, which is refreshed by the knowledge that they have found in that soul. They see that by my mercy she is raised from the earth with the plenitude of grace, and therefore they exalt in me in the good of that soul, which good she has received through my goodness. And that soul rejoices in me, and in the souls, and in the blessed spirits, seeing and tasting in them the beauty and sweetness of my love. And their desires forever cry out to me, for the salvation of the whole world. And because their life ended in the love of their neighbor, they have not left that behind, but with it they will pass through the door, my only begotten Son, in the way that I will relate to you. So you see that in those bonds of love in which they finished their life, they go on and remain eternally. They are conformed so entirely to my will that they cannot desire except what I desire, because their free will is bound in the bond of love, in such a way that, time failing them and dying in a state of grace, they cannot sin any more. And their will is so united with mine that a father or a mother seeing their son, or a son seeing his father or mother in hell, do not trouble themselves, and even are contented to see them punished as my enemies. Wherefore in nothing do they disagree with me, and their desires are all satisfied. The desire of the blessed is to see my honor in you wayfarers, who are pilgrims, forever running on towards the term of death. In their desire for my honor, they desire your salvation, and always pray to me for you, which desire is fulfilled by me, when you ignorant ones do not resist my mercy. They have a desire, too, to regain the gifts of their body, but this desire does not afflict them, as they do not actually feel it, but they rejoice in tasting the desire, from the certainty they feel of having it fulfilled. Their desire does not afflict them, because, though they have it not yet fulfilled, no bliss is thereby lacking to them. Wherefore they feel not the pain of desire, and think not that the bliss of the body after the resurrection gives more bliss to the soul. For if this were so, it would follow that until they had the body, they had imperfect bliss, which cannot be, because no perfection is lacking to them. So it is not the body that gives bliss to the soul, but the soul will give bliss to the body, because the soul will give of her abundance, and will reclothe herself on the last day of judgment in the garments of her own flesh which she had quitted. For as the soul is made immortal, stayed and established in me, so the body in that union becomes immortal, and having lost heaviness, is made fine and light. Wherefore know that the glorified body can pass through a wall, and that neither water nor fire can injure it, not by virtue of itself, but by virtue of the soul, which virtue is of me, given to her by grace, and by the ineffable love with which I created her in my image and likeness. The eye of your intellect is not sufficient to see, nor your ear to hear, nor your tongue to tell of the good of the blessed. Oh, how much delight they have in seeing me, who am every good! Oh, how much delight they will have in being with the glorified body! Though, not having that delight from now to the general judgment, they have not on that account pain, because no bliss is lacking to them, the soul being satisfied in herself. And as I have told you, the body will participate in this bliss. I told you of the happiness which the glorified body would take in the glorified humanity of my only begotten Son, which gives you assurance of your resurrection. There they exult in his wounds, which have remained fresh, and the scars in his body are preserved, and continually cry for mercy for you to me, the supreme and eternal Father. And they are all conformed with him in joyousness and mirth, and you will all be conformed with him, eye with eye, and hand with hand, and with the whole body of the sweet word, my Son. And dwelling in me, you will dwell in him, because he is one thing with me. But their bodily eye, as I told you, will delight itself in the glorified humanity of the Word, my only begotten Son. Why so? Because their life finished in the affection of my love, and therefore will this delight endure for them eternally. Not that they can work any good, but they rejoice and delight in that good which they have brought with them. That is, they cannot do any meritorious act by which they could merit anything, because in this life alone can they merit and sin, according as they please, with free will. These, then, do not await with fear the divine judgment, but with joy, and the face of my Son will not seem to them terrible or full of hatred, because they finished their lives in love and affection for me, and good will toward their neighbor. So you see, then, that the transformation is not in his face, when he comes to judge with my divine majesty, but in the vision of those who will be judged by him. To the damned he will appear with hatred and with justice, and to the saved with love and mercy. How, after the general judgment, the pain of the damned will increase. I have told you of the dignity of the righteous, so that you may the better know the misery of the damned. For this is another of their pains, namely, the vision of the bliss of the righteous, which is to them an increase of pain. As to the righteous, the damnation of the damned is an increase of the exultation in my goodness. As light is seen better near darkness, and darkness near light, so the sight of the blessed increases their pain. With pain they await the last day of judgment, because they see following it an increase of pain to themselves. And so will it be, because when that terrible voice shall say to them, "Arise, you dead, and come to judgment," the soul will return with the body, in the just to be glorified, and in the damned to be tortured eternally. And the aspect of my truth, and of all the blessed ones, will reproach them greatly, and make them ashamed, and the worm of conscience will gnaw the pith of the tree, that is the soul, and also the bark outside, which is the body. They will be reproached by the blood which was shed for them, and by the works of mercy, spiritual and temporal, which I did for them by means of my Son, and which they should have done for their neighbor, as is contained in the Holy Gospel. They will be reproved for their cruelty toward their neighbor, for their pride and self-love, for their filthiness and avarice. And when they see the mercy that they have received from me, their reproof will seem to be intensified in harshness. At the time of death, only the soul is reproved, but at the general judgment, the soul is reproved together with the body, because the body has been the companion and instrument of the soul, to do good and evil according as the free will pleased. Every work, good or bad, is done by means of the body. And therefore, justly, my daughter, glory and infinite good are rendered to my elect ones with their glorified body, rewarding them for the toils they bore for me, together with the soul. And to the perverse ones will be rendered eternal pains by means of their body, because their body was the instrument of evil. Wherefore, being their body restored, their pains will revive and increase at the aspect of my Son, their miserable sensuality with its filthiness in the vision of their nature, that is, the humanity of Christ, united with the purity of my Deity, and of this mass of their Adam nature, raised above all the choirs of angels, and themselves, by their own fault, sunk into the depths of hell. And they will see generosity and mercy shining in the blessed ones, who receive the fruit of the blood of the Lamb, the pains that they have borne remaining as ornaments on their bodies, like the dye upon the cloth, not by virtue of the body, but only out of the fullness of the soul, representing in the body the fruit of its labor, because it was the companion of the soul in the working of virtue. As in the mirror is represented the face of the man, so in the body is represented the fruit of bodily toils, in the way that I have told you. The pain and confusion of the darkened ones, on seeing so great a dignity, of which they are deprived, will increase, and their bodies will appear with the sign of the righteousness that they have committed, with pain and torture. And when they hear that terrible speech, "Go, cursed ones, to the eternal fire," the soul and the body will go to be with the devil, without any remedy or hope, each one being wrapped up in diverse filth of earth, according to his evil works. The miser with the filth of avarice, wrapping himself up with the worldly substance which he loved disordinately, and the burning in the fire. The cruel one with cruelty, the foul man with foulness and miserable concupiscence, the unjust with his injustice, the envious with envy, and the hater of his neighbor with hatred. And inordinate self-love, whence were born all their ills, will be burnt with intolerable pain, as the head and principle of every evil in company with pride, so that body and soul together will be punished in diverse ways. Thus miserably do they arrive at their end who go by the lower way, that is, by the river, not turning back to see their sins and my mercy. And they arrive at the gate of the lie, because they follow the doctrine of the devil, who is the father of lies. And this devil is their door, through which they go to eternal damnation, as has been said, as the elect and my sons, keeping by the way above, that is, by the bridge, follow the way of truth, and this truth is the door. And therefore said my truth, no one can go to the Father but by me. He is the door and the way through which they pass to enter the sea Pacific. It is the contrary for those who have kept the way of the lie, which leads them to the water of death. And it is to this that the devil calls them, and they are as blind and mad, and do not perceive it, because they have lost the light of faith. The devil says, as it were, to them, whosoever thirsts for the water of death, let him come, and I will give it to him.